I believe that this Sunday is the perfect time to speak of the love of God, because the season itself speaks of the amazing love of Christ. Culturally, we live in a dark time. It's a dark age. The days of so much hate and rage. Many say that there is an unavoidable civil war on our horizon that may or may not be true. If it is, can anything stop it? I believe that love can. I really do. Love can be like a fire that starts small and it spreads to one person at a time, as we've seen today already. Can the fire of love spread in such humble beginnings as ours? Little church in the country. I believe it's possible. And not only is it possible, I believe that it's not too late. But the fire must begin somewhere in our nation for it to spread and engulf many. Why not here? Why not here? Someone must light the first match of love. Will it be you? Will it be me? I believe so. I believe we can. We need love now more than ever. Love can overcome evil, and love can change lives. But how do we get people to believe that that's true? We throw around the term love so easily. My wife and I occasionally watch The Voice when it's, if we can catch them only singing, we fast forward through their discussions. But they're constantly saying, oh, I love you. I love you. I think love can mean I like you. But love is so much more. Love is so deep, so much deeper than we give it credit. So how do we get people to believe that it's true? It's simple. Really, we put love into action. Actions speak louder than words. That's why our kids watch us. And when they get older, some of them leave the church. They get mad at our families because we've used words of love, but we haven't put the action into work. So we have to put it into action. If we want to share God's love with others, for them to believe that God loves them, we're going to have to put that into action before they will believe our message. That's just the day and age that we live in. The Christmas season is the perfect time to reflect upon God's love put into action, because that's really what the season is all about, isn't it? It's about God's demonstration of love for us. Today I'm going to talk about three ways that God demonstrated His love for us through the birth of Christ. And if we can grasp the importance of these three things and imitate them, remember, be doers of the word, not just hearers only, I believe that we will be more effective in our witness and more convincing when we tell people that God loves them and that Jesus loves them. They'll say, oh, prove it to me. I will. The first way that God demonstrated His love for us is that He humbled Himself. To submit oneself to another in a gentle humility goes against the grain of everything we see in our world, doesn't it? We live in the age of the selfie and the exaltation of oneself, trying to be famous on YouTube, making videos to get famous on Facebook, to get likes. I just want someone to make me feel important. We live in a world that insists on its rights, and it's quickly offended when those rights are infringed. People are desperate for attention. But actually, truth being, they are starved for love. So to reach people with the message of God's love, we must demonstrate humility. And how do we do this? How do we put humility into action so that action is received as an act of love? Consider the humility of Christ as our model. If you want to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'll give you just a second. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 7. Beginning in verse 1. Therefore, if there is only encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. That's the essence of humility right there. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also the interest of others. And have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. You see, to walk in humility is the essence of Christ. It was Christ's gentle humility that was so attractive to others. He served and loved. He wasn't afraid to touch lepers. He ate with beggars and outcasts, and he showed love to the unloved. And we have so many that are unloved. They're all around us. And they need to know that God values them, that God loves them, and that we love them because we are children of God. Jesus never considered himself better than the others. It's so true. I'm convicted of that myself this morning, of walking in pride. Maybe I'm too busy to help this person who is in obvious need. Crossing the street because I don't want to meet the gaze of a homeless man laying on the sidewalk. I wrestled with a lot of conviction this week. I don't stand up here saying, you. I share in that lament in my heart. You see, when people understood that they were loved just as they were, they became open to the gospel. And that's when Christ was able to share with them why he came. But they had to know that they were accepted as they were first. You see, in humility, Christ came into this dirty and dusty world. The very shepherds mentioned in his birth story were symbolic that Christ had come for all people. Shepherds were dirty and smelly people. They lived amongst the animals in the wild. A lot of people didn't like to walk close to them. They were different. They smelled a little different. Jesus himself was born in a manger, a food trough where animals ate from. Again, symbolic that Christ did not come for the rich of the world. He came for the low, the poor, the weary, the unloved. That is the God we serve, and that is the God who says, do as I have done. Do you greet the Walmart greeter? Let's just be real this morning. If there's a person in our culture that does not feel love, it's the Walmart greeter. Especially when they have to tell you to put on your mask. You don't like that, do you? Suddenly you don't like that person. I'm not saying that's a lowly job. I think it's an honorable job, actually. You get to greet people. Be the face of Walmart, the first face as they walk in to the store. But how many of them just walk past? How many of us just walk past them? Like they're not even there. There are many people like that in our culture that have jobs that are needed and necessary, but we just kind of walk past them like they're not there. Do you take time to look into the eyes of your cashiers and your waitresses when you're ordering food? Just to look up and look them in the eye and let them know that they're valued and they're important. Do you insist on your own rights? When you are in the right, you're in the right. And somebody comes insisting on their rights. You say, no, I'm in the right. Or do you yield? Say, no, by all means. If you're able to let them know that Jesus loves them, your humility will go a lot further than words alone. When you look them in the eye, when you let them know that God loves them. I was getting some glasses at Costco about a week and a half ago. The young kid helping me. As we talked a little more, he asked what I do. I told him, I'm a pastor. And he's like, oh, that's really cool. You get two reactions usually from people. The first is they have no idea what you're even talking about. And then the others, they're kind of guarded, like, okay. But we began to talk a little bit. I began to find out a little about him. I wasn't overly evangelizing or anything. I was just trying to remain humble in my responses to him and let him know what he was doing was so awesome. He began telling me he used to work for Red Cross over in Australia and served during the fires. And he'd really done some big things. He was a big guy. He used to lead teams. And he was selling glasses at Costco now. And I let him know, that is so cool. Man, that is such, you have such a great job. And then I told him, do you know what? Do you know that God loves you? And he just kind of stood back for a second. And he said, thank you very much. I really needed to hear that. He went on to tell me that he used to be in church when he was younger. And something happened. You know the story, right? Somebody looked at him the wrong way and he got mad and never came back to church. Well, I got his phone number. And when about an hour later, I texted him. And I go, I just wanted to remind you again that God loves you. I believe that with that message, it reached him. I believe that he's thinking about it. He asked what time our services were. I don't expect him to ever walk through these doors. Not really. He lives on the other side of Champaign. But maybe he'll have an honest conversation with God this Christmas. Maybe he'll call his family back up. Said they used to go to church, the whole family. I'm sure somebody's praying for him because they brought me into his path. May we have the same mindset that Christ displayed. Humility. Humility through love as we imitate the great humble King. Before we move on, I'm also reminded of Billy Graham's big attraction. What is so attractive about Billy Graham? Was attractive about him. He's more attractive now. He's got his glorified body. It was his humility, wasn't he? He was able to speak during primetime hours. People believed his message. They go, That guy's a Christian, you know? I don't know about the others. Everybody else seems a little fake, but I do know that Billy Graham is a Christian. It was his humility, wasn't it? His humility. Well, the next way God demonstrated his love was by giving. You don't need to turn here. Most of you have it by memory. But if you want to, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. There's something that I want you to notice here. You've probably seen it before, but it's a good reminder. Notice that God loved the world so much that he gave. He gave. What did God give? He gave his Son to die for our sins. It was the true Christmas gift. It was the first Christmas gift. A gift to us. A gift to the world for all who will believe. And that's not much to ask for in return when you consider what we get from it. Just believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. Accept the gift and we'll have an eternal gift of life. It's not much required to receive that. This is amazing love in and of itself. But what makes this gift even more impressive is that while we were still enemies, God gave. Look in your Bibles over to Romans 12:20. This might be a good verse to memorize, one of those that you put in your back pocket. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. I always thought this verse meant, when they're mean to you, be nice to them, and they'll feel so bad that they'll start being nice to you. Now, that's true. Be nice to people. Be kind to them. Even if they're hot-headed and flaming out, respond in kindness. That's the way Christ would respond. But really, this to give somebody heaping coals on their heads was actually a good thing. To have to go and get hot coals and go out to get them and then bring them back to your family to keep the homes warm at night, it was laborious. And when you fill up hot coals and you take them as a gift to your enemy, he says, here you go. This might help you. That can change lives because they see the love of Christ in that act. As long as you let them know that love, the love of Christ compels us. If we do a charity or something like that, we don't need to let anybody know. But when we're giving to somebody, we need to let them know that it's because of the love of Christ in us that compels us. They are loved by Christ. They are loved by God. It does very little. They'll just think we're nice people, and that's okay. But they need to know that Christ loves them. So it's easy to give to our friends and allies. It's hard to give to our enemies. But that is what God has called us to do, to demonstrate His love. Liana and I had neighbors. I think I've shared this story at least once in here a few years ago. We had in our first apartment that we lived in when we got married, Zach hadn't come around yet, thank the Lord. We had a neighbor in an apartment wall that was about this thin. And he loved to come in about 2 a.m. His room was right behind our bedroom wall. And I guess he fancied himself as a singer. He actually had a pretty good voice. I'm telling you guys, it was loud and proud. And it was right behind our heads. And then he was drinking, and then that singing would turn into a 1 hour berating of his teenage daughter. Every word that a sailor might think of, no offense to sailors, but just the words, I'm like, wow, that's an inventive use of that cuss word. Just horrible, horrible things, and it went on for a while. Finally, we got the management. You know, we just go, hey, you know, you got to do something. This guy's crazy. I think he's going to kill somebody and keep us awake while he does it. And so we got the manager to come over. We got the manager came over with her big flashlight, and she liked us, so she kind of took up for us a little bit and banged on the door. We heard the door knock, and we heard her talking, and we thought, well, maybe this is going to help things. Wrong. He decided to come on in and start beating on our walls. Evidently, she thought it would be great to tell him that we were the ones that complained. Thank you. Thank you for that. It was pretty ugly. Liana and I began to pray for them, pray for the situation. And then we decided to make some cookies, made some, a whole plate of them. And we came over and knocked on the door. His daughter answered. And then he walked up to the door and he had this look like, this is it. He's ready to go. He's ready. We're ready to fight. And we took those cookies and we just gave them out to him. And we said, we just wanted to bless you and let you know that God loves you. I'm telling you, right before our very eyes, we saw something, you know, the verse where scales, something like scales fell from Paul's eyes. It was something like scales or a body armor of defense that just dropped from him. We saw it. I saw this change come across his eyes. And he stepped to the other side of his daughter. And he looked at us and he said, who does this? Who does this? And we said, God does this. because he loves you. We invited him to church. You know, they came to church for a couple weeks. It was amazing to see what can happen when we heap coals on our enemies. Not to hurt them, but to bless them. But to bless them. Because that is God's way. And not just enemies, but strangers too. To demonstrate love through giving. Maybe you want to leave your waitress a little bigger tip. Not just the 15%, maybe 30% or 40%. Maybe you want to buy somebody's groceries. Next time you're at Aldi's, you see a struggling family paying for things. Just go, I'll pay for this. They'll look at you like you're crazy. Let them know that God loves them. It's love put into action that will win hearts. It's a generous heart that is so attractive to God's love. Consider this verse. All day long, he craves for more. This is in Proverbs 21, 26. Because Christians should be givers, not hoarders. All day long, he craves for more. Talking about the worldly, the world. But the righteous give without sparing. Embedded within our flesh is the desire for more. We always want more. More stuff, more food, more money, more sin, more of everything. And if we are not careful, these desires can quickly turn into lust and then turn into idolatry. And we're headed for trouble at that point. I'm always intrigued when I see news stories of hoarders. Though they collect and store, they never have enough. They have never surrendered the longing for more stuff to God. But the righteous in this verse tells us that we are to give without sparing. What does this have to do with hoarding and collecting stuff? Let me tell you, the implication is that the righteous can be freed from the lust of things when we practice generosity. When we practice giving generously. When we give, it releases us from the fear that we won't have enough. It releases us from the lust of things and it frees us from the bondage of selfishness. That's a message we need to hear this Christmas, isn't it? Yet perhaps more than anything else, it displays love. And if done without a hidden agenda and motive, it can powerfully express the love of God. I want to jump down to the third point. The third way that God demonstrated his love is by sacrificing. Jesus sacrificed his life. He was born into this world as the sacrificial lamb. He knew and he understood the mission well before he ever came to earth. He understood that he was going to give his life as a ransom for many. God understood that he was giving over his son as the lamb that came to take away the sins of the world. He loved Jesus, but he loved us too. And he was willing to sacrifice so that we might understand that love. If God had only spoke about his love but never demonstrated his love, where would we be today? No one would believe the message of Christmas. The babe child that came into this world, oh, it's a nice story. But it's just a story. No, God demonstrated his love through the sacrifice of this son, this child that he sent in this world. And I want to talk about this for just a second. I got a short message. We're about done. Hang in here for just a couple minutes. In John 15, 9 through 12. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. We're talking about a demonstration of God's love. And God tells us that we also are to love this way. What way? Sacrificially. And when we do, people will more likely believe us when we share God's love with them. It is a great act of love to lay down one's life for a friend. How much more so even for an enemy? Remember, I said that God loved us while we were still His enemies. It's not always easy to sacrifice for someone you don't love. Maybe even someone you don't like very much. Yet Christ showed us the way. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Think about the sacrifices of Paul and Peter. All the disciples and everyone who else has ever lived and sacrificed for their lives to share God's love. Their message was powerful because they were willing to die for what they believed is true, that God loves. You know, we support missionaries at this church. They believe in the message of the gospel. They believe in God's love, and they have given up everything they have to go to a place, many places, where they don't have much at all, to put their own lives in harm's way as they sacrifice to show others there to demonstrate God's love to them. It's so important. You know, we have even in our own culture, I think one of the biggest pictures of sacrificial love are single moms and maybe single dads. They're raising their kids. They're working one, two, three jobs. We've heard the stories of the moms who sacrifice for their children. I tell you, moms, you got a special, single moms, you got a special place in God's heart. I don't want to forget the dads, though. There are a lot of single dads doing their best out there to raise their kids as well, sacrificing for their children. If they also share God's love with them, that's an amazing witness. So the kids know why it is that they do what they do. They have an accurate glimpse of our Father through their sacrificial love. What does it look like for us this morning? And not just this morning, but every day, even after Christmas. Are we willing to sacrifice to show someone that God loves them? Folks, the world needs to see it. Our neighbors and our family need to see it. Do we mean what we say? It will not always be comfortable and easy. Sometimes it takes money, time, and even to be uncomfortable to demonstrate God's love to another. You may not even get a thank you. We all want to be thanked, don't we? But when we are sacrificing for another, when we are giving, when we are displaying humility, telling it, don't look for a thank you. Just look above to see if God's watching you, because He's the only one that we serve for. We serve to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's He that we seek to please, not man. So we should never do these things with a thank you. And I'm going to end here today. In the days ahead, it is going to take a commitment of radical love to see lives changed. And for people to believe our message that God loves and that love can fix and that love can heal. Our nation needs to hear this message and our nation needs to see this message. And it can begin with someone just like us here in this little country church. Just reaching out and loving someone, because we've already seen that love can be contagious. What acts of love are you willing to devote to another's life so that they might believe and hear the gospel message? Will you walk in humility and esteem others higher than yourself? Will you be a giver and not a taker? Are you willing to sacrifice? What is it that the Holy Spirit is putting in your heart right now? I guarantee you, He's talking to somebody in here. He's put in a face or He's put in a name. And you know exactly who it is that you need to give to, or you need to sacrifice for, or you need to approach in humility and say, please forgive me. I didn't mean to offend you. There's someone in here. And in doing so, you will be displaying God's love. And when you tell them that God loves them, and what you do is because of the love of Christ compelling you, I'm telling you, it's like an arrow into their heart. An arrow into the heart. I want to read you a little story. And it takes like a minute. Our family is reading this. It's called Jotham's Journey. Has anyone ever read this? It's the story of a little shepherd boy. He gets lost from his family. And he begins journeying to find his family, but his roads lead him to Bethlehem and the birth of Christ. It's an amazing story. It's written very, very well. And you kind of read it through the Advent series called Jotham's Journey. And here's what they write in this. At the end of each story is a little kind of a commentary, if you will. We each spend our lives searching. We are all searching for the same thing, though we do it in many different ways. We will go to extreme lengths to try to find what we're looking for. And many times we hurt others as we search. The thing we search for is not a person or an animal or even a God necessarily. The thing we search for is the most important thing in all of our lives. Without it, we don't care to live. In fact, when people think they haven't found it, they often become depressed or even suicidal. Without this thing, there is a hole in our chest the size of a watermelon. It makes us act in selfish ways, to treat others unkindly and always want our own way. And we try to fill this hole with popularity, power, or self-praise. But nothing is ever good enough to take away the pain of that empty space. What is this thing that each of us searches for to the exclusion of all else? It is simply the knowledge that somebody loves us. The knowledge, the belief that someone somewhere thinks we're important. The truth is, no matter who we are or what we've done, there is one who loves us more than anyone else could or would. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word of truth. Lord, if there's anyone here today that is not feeling loved, Holy Spirit, I pray and ask that right now you would wrap your arms around them, that you would hold their hearts firmly and gently, as the loving arms of a father can do. Father, there are those here today. They need to know that you love them. Along their journey, they've gotten lost. They've been tricked for exposing their heart. And whoever stole their heart and did bad things with it, they need to be healed this morning. The enemy has stolen something from them that you gave them. And God, I pray that they would surrender their heart once more to you completely, knowing that in the Father's hands, their hearts are safe. Lord, there are single moms here today. I pray that you would give them the grace to raise their children in love, understanding the sacrifice that was given for them that they could extend to their children. It's not easy. Father, single fathers that are here. Even some that are struggling to understand themselves how life can be so painful and love rejected. God, I pray that you would touch them this morning and heal those spaces in their hearts and in their minds. The betrayals that they have experienced would be long forgotten. And they would open their arms and their hands to the loving heart of the Father who sent His Son into this world to die for our sins because You loved us so much. The Word says that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You love us as much today as the day that You first sent Christ into this world. We thank You. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. After we close here this morning, I'm going to leave the altar open. If you just want some prayer, you want some healing in your heart, maybe you want to shed a few tears, this is a great place for it. So I'm going to ask you to stay after we conclude here. And those that are leaving, I just pray that God blesses you and you have an amazing Christmas. I pray that you're able to show what Christmas is really like to many people this week. And that you would not forget yourself how much the Father loves you.